All right, Rabbi Say, good morning. Let's continue. So page 98, the last two lines on the page. Ha'im Adam Shiniska L'makatz. Remember again, we were discussing yesterday the idea, the Ramchal teaching us the yisod that Havi Mema'id Be'esem, which means that I have to make sure it's not a timing issue, but rather, again, it's an orientation issue, to make sure that over the course of my day, there are times where, although my body may be in the Beis Medrash, my body may be involved in spiritual things, I have to make sure that my head is there as well. So we pointed out the idea that sometimes we learn sugyas in Gemara or in other areas that don't seem to be so lamaisa, but the reason they are always lamaisa is because they teach us to ultimately strive towards MS, to strive towards truth, which according to the Ramchal is the ultimate yisod in life of trying to strive towards the tov ha'amiti, the ultimate good. He says, ha'im adam sheniska l'makad shalom, v'akad nishbar. So let's say if you have a person ultimately who went ahead and fell down, oh, thank you, official. With his jug, and the jug broke. Ha'imu posha lo posha, and such a person caused damage. So is he considered to be a damager? Is he a negligent damager or not? Ma'ot chashuv ladun bazet yom shalim. A person sometimes could spend an entire day, right? Say in yeshiva, a person could spend an entire day focusing and trying to gain clarity on this particular question. Machlokes, top of page 99. Machlokes tanoim, poskim, machlokes in kol asvaros. So again, this could be a major machlokes between the poskim, between the tanoim, and all different types of logic. Lama. Now, why do we have to spend all of this time trying to figure out, right? Trying to figure out if somebody, or say, you know, we there are so many cases like this in Gemara, right? Ruvain's walking with his. You understand. So why do I have to spend all day focusing on obscure cases like this in Gemara? Lo ki machar yesh lanu diyun binose hazeh. Top of page 99, second line. It's not because that tomorrow, you know, this Shaila may come up, right? You know, it happens to be that tomorrow I have to be prepared that Reuven's going to come to me. He was walking with his jug. He slipped. The jug broke. A shard came off, injured Shimon's animal. So I should be prepared. I should be prepared to be able to answer such a Shaila like this. It's not because it's not halacha lemaisa. It's not going to happen. But rather, what a case like that does, and also you could plug this into any obscure case in Gemara that we do, and we've done plenty of them. What does it accomplish for me? The truth is, this line or this train of thought, I find to be very validating, because often we all struggle when we learn things and we scratch our heads. We wonder, like, what do I need this for? Like, what? I know there's a message here. I know there's something here. What am I supposed to gain? So we'll say, so says Rav Castillo, there are some things that are absolutely not lemaisa. Some pieces of information that you will never, ever use, and they will never find a practical manifestation. If that's the case, he says, what does it do for us? He says, "Kize margil as tzuras achashiv shalom shazenosei chashuv ma'od." Sometimes what we learn just focuses or orients our thinking in a particular direction. Ha'im ze arachi, ha'im ze musari, olai lo musari, mehena tvio shanu latov mina adam, mahena tvio shalat tzedek. So you're supposed to say, how does it orient our thinking? We think, because we remember, you see a case like that, and what is the Gemara ultimately asking? The Gemara is asking, what is just? What is correct? What is right? And the truth is, that has to be the orientation of all of our thinking in this life. Before I engage in any activity, is this right? Now, Moshe, that goes back to the first four chapters. How do I define right? What is the Tov Ha'amiti? What is the ultimate good that I know to be good in life and that I know to be good for myself? And then after I answer all of those questions, then I decide, should I do this or not? But all of this stems from a particular orientation in our thinking. And it's through learning these sugyas, even though the bottom line, the bottom result, may be not lemais in any way, shape, or form, but the process of trying to orient my thinking in the right way, the process of trying to strive towards what is the ultimate good, what is the tov, what is just, that's important. He goes on, he says, these cases condition me to think about what does God want from man. It's very important to habituate oneself in this. It's important that my mind be occupied with this. It's not because it pays anything, but rather it's important, ultimately, again, because it's life. We'll say this is really incredible. Every single time we learn again, I'm not going to repeat it all over again, but you understand this point that he's making, is that sometimes the learning that we do, even when it's totally impractical, the beautiful part of Gemara says, you could say, every single sugya you learn all boils down to one basic question, which is, should I do this or shouldn't I do it? Which boils down to a more fundamental question, which is this right or is it not right? Says Ramchal something amazing. That is the most important lesson for life. Because in reality, all of life boils down to that simple question. Is this right or is it not right? Because I will say all of life comes down to one basic yisod, which is, what is my tov ha'amiti? What is the ra ha'amiti? What is the ultimate good? What is the ultimate bad? What am I working towards? What am I trying to stay away from? Incredible. Ata osa, second paragraph, page 99. Ata osa beirurim arachim shel musar, derech eretz, mataros al yonos, mitzad atzmucha, moshecha osik bazeh, ze mashpia alecha, ata mitragel shebemoach yesh pina kazos, Zelo zar l'tzuras hachashiva shecha. But say the goal sometimes is just simply to habituate myself to a particular manner of thinking, to a particular derech, ultimately of focusing on what is right, what is wrong. Zela at la'at, listen to this line. Zela at la'at mechalchel be'ishiut shelcha. Right? When you read that, it has to be Sfardilo, so you can't read it Ashkenazis, it doesn't work. Right? He says, la'at la'at micha, it's just an aberration for a moment to make a point. Right? It's, la'at la'at michalchel b'ishu shelcha. So what happens is, well, you know what he's referring to over here? Behavioral conditioning. What's behavioral conditioning? I want to behave, well, behavior, one of two ways. Either there's a behavior I want, or a behavior that I don't want. So what do? I modify my behavior, and I reinforce that behavior over and over and over again. And then something amazing happens, which is, I change. So we'll say, this, by the way, is so empowering. So the next time I see a sugya, and I say to myself, oh my gosh, we're spending all of this time learning this thing, and I have absolutely no idea why, I take a deep breath, and I say to myself, no, I do know why. Because this helps me in my struggle to try to establish for myself that the most important thing in life is to be able to establish what is right, what is wrong, what is tov, what is ra, what is emes, what is sheker. Because it's only once I solidify that for myself that I'll be able to be successful in life. That's what we gain from this entire process. He goes on. He says, "Kol echad tzarich losis din v'cheshbon kalkali v'kiyumi la'atzmo." So it's parnasaso. So it's in the same way that every single person has to go ahead and give a din v'cheshbon, has to give a financial accounting about his master. When you always say, see, there are two different types of people in the world. So there are people that just show up for a job, and the truth is, they don't really have to think so much, they just have to show up and kind of make sure that they're fulfilling the tenets of their job. Then there are other people who are more personally responsible for the financial future that they're going to have. And for them, it's not just enough to make sure that I check off my to-do list. They have to figure out, ultimately, again, how am I going to grow? Meaning, that's the din cheshbon kalkali v'kiyumi. So just like I have to spend time thinking about, like, how am I going to grow my business? How am I going to grow my parnasa? How am I going to manage this? Aval ha'riboya esek kemuvan, zelo shal kamos, ela kama harosh tafos mizeh. We'll say, and this is also very important. Says Rav Kashtiel, says Ramchal. The truth is, Chazal never told the person to spend that he shouldn't spend the requisite time on his parnasa. We'll say a person should spend enough time on his parnasa to be successful. Now, of course, again, I think everyone knows there's the law of diminishing returns. The law of diminishing returns means at the same time, after a certain point in time, if you're spending too much time in your office, so you will adversely affect other things as well. So that might not be worth it. But the idea is that, you know, the Rambam writes that a person should spend 8 hours working, 8 hours learning, and 8 hours sleeping. So first of all, no one sleeps 8 hours, right? Right? I'm sorry? You learn with her for a few minutes. Right? Right? Okay. Nachum Schoenfeld, advocate for women. On the no, first you have to understand that Imam's model also learning includes different things. Right? No, it doesn't include dishes. Right? This is the Rambam. This is like Cairo, you know? And I lost my train of thought. Okay, no problem. So nobody's sleeping 8 hours. And the truth is, in today's day and age, nobody's working 8 hours either. I mean, you see, that's an unheard of reality for most. So the idea that Rav Kashtiel is saying is a person may have to work in their office for 12 hours. It's okay. I mean, yeah, a person has to balance everything in life, but it's okay. But at least make sure that those, and a person might only have 1 hour to learn. That's okay also. As long as you make sure that 1 hour, you're there. You're there. That you're vested in what it is that you're doing, and that's having mema'it be'esek. Because they're both saying, if I'm in my office for 12 hours, and I'm in the Beis Medrash for 1 hour, but in the 1 hour I'm in the Beis Medrash, my head is in my office, then I'm not in the Beis Medrash. I'm in the office. And ultimately, again, what have I accomplished? But if a person is mema'it be'esek and focuses themselves the time that they're in the Beis Medrash, and in that time focuses themselves on their learning, and even if I don't retain the information that I learn, but the take-home message is, I'm striving to figure out what is right and what is wrong. I'm trying to figure out what is the tof amiti, what is the ultimate good that I'm working towards, then that's mission accomplished. Listen to this line, it's so beautiful. Tishachrer es hamoach shalcha. Free your mind. Free your mind. Sometimes we're both saying our mind is enslaved by so many different things that we're not even aware. Free your mind. Ta'aseh tov, do something good. Al tina eloso. Don't shackle your mind. Don't incarcerate your mind in the office. Al tisando oso rakle inyonam shala olamazeh. Don't enslave your mind to only think about matters of this world. But recognize at the end of the day that one must free their mind, one must go ahead and be mema'it be'esek in order to be able to contemplate the spiritual realities of the world and be able to contemplate the tova amiti of life. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up bottom of 99 tomorrow.
This is also the influence
of
having a Rebbe. If you're getting that value system,
and 100%.
Oh,
1,000%. It's also the importance of learning, whatever you want to call it, Musar, Hashkafa, because where does that Tova Amiti come from? Who is defining, you know, if man is left to his own devices to define what the Tova Amiti is? I mean, horrible atrocities have been committed in the name of Tov HaAmiti. So 100%, it requires a Rebbe, it requires a Seder of Limud of Musar of Hashkafa, it requires a lot of things.